third speaker today, Emily Bender from University of Washington, from Database to Tree Bank.
Hi everyone, thank you for coming to this talk and for having me here. This isn't loud enough. All right, I speak better when I'm standing up, so how about I do it like this? I'll give you a more energetic talk that way. All right, so I want to first start by contextualizing a little bit by saying who I imagine you to be, so that you can get a sense of where I'm coming from. So I imagine that you are all here because you're interested in the idea or the potential of hypertext. This new technology may be an implementation of what's an old idea. It's been there in a sense since Panini, we learned this morning. The application of that idea and that technology to improving descriptive grammars. And I'm here to tell you that that's great, and I think once you've done that, we can add something interesting in addition from another idea of electronic grammaticography, which is implemented grammars or machine-readable grammars. And so in a sense, I'm echoing what Mike was talking about yesterday. But he's not here to tell me that. Okay, maybe he'll come in. So by way of introduction, working from Jeff's 2004 paper, Jeff conceptualized a descriptive grammar, or a grammatical description, to use Sebastian's term, as a set of annotations over text and lexicon. And those annotations can take the form of prose descriptions or structured descriptions, and the structured descriptions are paradigms or rules or hand-drawn trees, for example. And the annotations are illustrated with exemplars, which are drawn from the corpus. And exemplars are different from examples in Jeff's work because they're the ones that are chosen to be particularly good illustrations, particularly accessible, very clear cases, but there's other examples of the same phenomenon in the text. Now, implemented grammars, the machine-readable grammars that I'm talking about, could be understood as machine-readable structured descriptions. So they are structured descriptions, but they're aimed at the computer, not at the person. And these descriptions must be integrated with each other to form a cohesive whole. As Nick was saying earlier, the grammar has to hang together. In the case of a prose grammar, it's not a good grammar if it doesn't hang together. In the case of a machine-readable grammar, it doesn't work if it doesn't hang together. It has to all be cohesive. And the big benefit here is that these implemented grammars can automatically produce annotations over as many examples as you have that are compatible with the grammar with the click of a mouse. Right? And then those grammars can be aggregated, so those grammatical annotations can be aggregated and searched and form an interesting adjunct to an electronic grammar. So I'm going to continue with a bit more introductory stuff and then talk about implemented grammars in tree banks and then look at this from the perspective of values and maxims following Sebastian's 2007 paper. And then it's all going to sound way too difficult, and so I'm going to put in a little plug for my work on the grammar matrix to make it look easier to actually do this. And then come back to something that Jeff and I wrote about in 2004, this project idea called Montage, which wasn't funded, but fortunately, actually, a lot of the work has happened in the meantime anyway, not only by us, in fact, largely not by us. Okay, so here's Jeff's pictures from that 2004 paper, and up on the upper left there, you have the annotations, which point to the lexicon on the one hand and the text on the other, and then a more detailed look into what those annotations might include. What I'm talking about adding to that is implemented grammars, where you take implemented analyses in a computational lexicon and your texts, use parsing software to get structures for those examples in the text, of utterances in the text, based on the grammar. Then there's a step of tree banking, where you go through and you say, this is the right analysis, this is the right analysis, oops, there's no right analysis for that one. And that gives you a database of searchable, structured annotations over utterances. Now, I don't want to make it look like these things are separate. They're meant to complement each other. So on the left, I have a slight reinterpretation of Jeff's first picture there. And on the right, I have the implemented grammar. So you have these texts in the middle, and the grammatical description points to exemplars in those texts. And it might also be possible to find further examples by searching IGT. But the implemented grammar gives you structured annotations, that is, detailed, rich parses, morphological, syntactic, semantic, over many, many, many of the examples in the text. Obviously not all of them until you have a very broad coverage, complete grammar, but many of them. And those are also searched. Now, of course, you can't build that kind of a grammar without doing the hard work of the actual grammatical description first. And so the lexicon and the grammatical description inform that implemented grammar. And ideally, we would have a way to search the tree bank and have that linked into the electronic grammatical description so that when a reader is following their path through the grammar and they want to go find more examples, they can look through the IGT with search functionality, and they can also look through the tree bank with search functionality. Okay, so implemented grammars and tree banks. an implemented grammar, I got the feeling that when I was going to present this for many people, that would seem very vague. And so I'm going to try to make it concrete by showing you examples. They're not meant to scare you off. It's going to look like computer code, but I want to show you that it's real. So they're comprised of mutually consistent rules and lexical entries, and they have to make the analyses precise enough for a computer to handle them. So this means that implemented grammars are necessarily formalized, but I want to make sure to point out that formalized is not the same thing as formalist. So you can work with a formalization, a formal grammar, and not believe that it holds explanations in that formalism. And that's where we're coming from with these implemented grammars. And currently, these are most developed for syntax morphology and phonology, but there is work in computational semantics, there's even work in computational pragmatics, and work on modeling dialect variation. There's room to go beyond those aspects of linguistic structure. So I'm going to talk about an example, which is an HPSG grammar of Wambaya that I built based on Rachel Nordlinger's work, and I think I'll say this again in more detail later. Rachel did the hard part. When I actually measured the time it took me to do this, it came out to 210 hours, which if it was all in a row would be 5.5 work weeks. And then I asked Rachel how long she spent doing the initial field work and analysis and production of her grammatical description, and the answer was something like 20 times what I had done. And so I just want to point out that what I'm doing is derivative on what Rachel did, or alternatively, it's actually not that expensive to do the grammar engineering once someone has done the hard work of the linguistic description. So this was based, part of the reason I could do it quickly is working with the Lingo Grammar Matrix, and I just always need to show you this is where Wambaya is from. And I think I should leave that slide up for a moment because I think Stephen wants a picture of it. So this is an Australian language. Unfortunately, the last fluent speakers have passed away, beautifully documented in Rachel's book. And I'm going to keep the slide up for just a moment. All right, thanks. Okay, so here, that was a beautiful map. Now here's the scary grammar rule. This is what my rule looks like for combining a head with the second thing on its complements list. And then I have two versions of that rule down at the bottom, one for where the head comes first and one for where the head comes second. Point being there that, like many Australian languages, you might not think about Wambaya initially in phrase structure grammar terms because it's got highly flexible word order. There's a second position auxiliary cluster beyond that. Just about anything goes. But it's not the case that you can just say to the computer, okay, well, S goes to W star, because we don't want to just find out which are good sentences and which are bad sentences, right? We want to find out how the form maps to the meaning. And so you actually do need rules like this, and they need to be flexible enough that you can get all the different orders. This is what the rule looks like, or a small section of the rule, if you actually load it into the grammar and then explore. Again, not trying to scare you, just trying to show that this is real. And here's another screenshot of the software showing what happens. The upper left there is a window where I can click on an example sentence and parse it. The lower right is showing me all the various trees. Lower left is the parse chart, all the constituents that the parser found. So there's complexity there, but it's actually quite manageable. And it's real, it works. This is not pie in the sky. Okay, so that's a grammar. Now I want to talk about tree banks. The old style tree banks are like the Penn tree bank, which is about 1 million words of English text from the Wall Street Journal. It's excruciatingly boring. And it was produced by having an army of graduate students develop a code book for how to draw the syntax trees, and then drawing syntax trees by hand, not with a pencil, but with a computer, but they were by hand saying, here's the brackets, here's the label over all these sentences. The new style of tree banks takes a grammar, uses the grammar to parse the sentences. For all the sentences the grammar can handle, what you do is you go through and you pick the tree that's the right one in context. Right, so in my Wambaya grammar, almost every sentence that has more than one verb in it gets an analysis as coordination because you have this unmarked coordination of clauses. And that's almost never the right analysis. So when I'm making my tree bank, I have to go through and say, not that one, not that one. But when I make those decisions, the computer's remembering the decisions. So when I change the grammar, I can reparse all my sentences, rerun the decisions, and I get a tree bank that's consistent with my current grammar. So it's actually very inexpensive, and the tree bank is very consistent. So here's what that tree banking tool looks like. On the left, I see all the trees, but I'm not going through and squinting at the trees and picking the right one. What I'm doing is I'm looking at those various decisions and saying, okay, that constituent that spans all five of those words, is that a complement combining with a head, or is it a subject combining with a head? There's some ambiguity in the sentence, but I can tell based on the gloss that Rachel provided and the meaning in the translation which one it's likely to be, and so I selected. I'm sorry, I actually don't know Wambaya, so I can't tell you what this means. But I selected the one that made sense according to Rachel's IGT. Okay, so what are tree banks good for? In computational linguistics, they're good for training models to do machine learning of various things, including selecting the correct parse in context. Unfortunately, they don't really use context. They use just the sentence internal context, but to pick the most likely parse. And so in this experiment, I built a grammar that covered 90-some percent of the exemplars in Rachel's book, and then I tested it with this held-out text that I hadn't looked at when I was building the grammar from the narratives at the back. And at the same time, I trained a parse selection model, so when I was able to parse 76% of those sentences, the parse selection model was able to pick the correct parse about three-quarters of the time out of the ones that I was getting right. So this is computational applications of tree banks. You probably don't care about those. What you care about is in language description. And what it is a set of searchable annotations. It's more detailed in some ways than IGT, and it's more easily kept internally consistent because the grammar is the set of rules to produce these. But it is by no means a replacement for IGT. IGT is a really important resource. It's very rich, very useful for a linguist. Watching your presentation earlier, I was reminded of how when I tried to do a grammar for Hawaiian in this system, I was so frustrated by no IGT in those texts. It's really a very rich set of information, so this is meant as a complement to that. So I say it's searchable. In fact, it actually is searchable now, thanks to Stephen and some colleagues at Melbourne. So this is Godkey and Bird 2010, is fast queries over large tree banks, including both Penn tree bank style and Redwood style tree banks. And so I spent some time over the last few days communicating with your colleagues. Working out some queries to find some interesting examples in my Wambaya data. So for example, Wambaya often has noun phrases realized only by a modifier and not by the head. And so that first one there is a query that would actually find sentences like that. And the second one is a query that finds some sentences that actually have two overt arguments, which is relatively rare in languages like this. And so just for fun, I've got these queries preloaded in my history here. Due to the magic of the internet and international collaboration, my Wambaya data is actually available. And so here's the one that gets me realized only by a modifier. And here's an example of a tree. If I expand all the nodes, you can see we have a semi-transitive verb. There's the auxiliary cluster. Here's a ditransitive verb. I don't think this is the example I was looking for. I don't have any nouns in that at all. Let's see this one. I could try to talk to that, but the same idea. So these are trees that have the rules that give you a modifier realizing an argument position and don't have the rules that give you a head realizing an argument position. And the other one that I preloaded here is finding something. One of my transitive verb types, which actually has an overt subject and an overt object. So here's the transitive verb. I think that's actually the verb that means to hit. Here's the auxiliary. Here's one noun, and here's another noun. One is attached as a complement, one's attached as a subject. You can imagine if you had a larger set of texts, larger set of exemplars than what I have, this could be a very rich resource indeed. Okay, so I talked about implemented grammars and tree banks. Now I want to take the perspective that Sebastian did in the 2007 paper, I think, talking about the values and maxims associated with them, because this idea of adding tree banks speaks to some of them. Okay, and this is I'm following Bird and Simon's 2003 initially. I said that. So one of the values is accountability. And if you value accountability in writing a grammar, then you ought to follow the maxim, more sources for a phenomenon are better than fewer sources. Well, tree bank search obviously helps grammatical description readers to turn up examples from texts. So I think clearly we can add to that. Another value is actuality. And this is the notion that you should be able to update a grammatical description and include scientific progress. Well, what I was saying before about these tree banks is they're very easy to update. And so you can always keep this up to date as you improve your implemented grammar, which you can do as you improve the grammatical description. History, so we should be able to not only see the most current thing, but also compare to previous analyses. That same tree banking software is actually set up to compare the current set of parses to the previous set of parses. What's changed and how? Individual reading habits. So here the idea is that some people, we've been talking about this all day, want to come at it from a form-based perspective, some want to come at it from a function-based perspective. This is a little bit pie in the sky, but these grammars support both parsing and generation. And so in principle, if you could come up with a suitable set of generator inputs, you could say, well, how do you express this meaning? and get the grammar to spit out some sentences and then look at the structures of those sentences. Then I've got one here where I have to say this one's hard for us. This is the ease of exhaustive perception, right? Being able to tell that you've actually read everything and processed everything, that's really hard. If you're trying to look through one of these implemented grammars, we don't yet have a very good way of documenting them so you can understand what all the bits are and understand that you've looked at all the bits. So there's work to be done there. Relative importance, so how important is this point about the language, both in terms of the language itself and in terms of typology, and I can speak to both of those. So for a language, you could look through the tree bank and say, okay, well, this phenomenon is related to this construction. How frequent is this construction in the sentences in the tree bank? How often am I using that rule? Or, as we get better at documenting the bits of a grammar, how often do I actually have to talk about this feature of that construction in all the other parts of the grammar? How deeply entrenched is it in the various other analyses as these things have to hang together? From a typological perspective, the grammar matrix, which I haven't talked about yet, facilitates creating multiple ones of these grammars in a consistent format. And so being able to look at a cross-linguistic comparison by comparing the implemented grammars, I would hope would be useful for typologists. Quality assessment, so how good is this linguistic description? Again, you can look at the tree bank and say, well, how frequent is this in the tree bank? If it's frequent, then it's at least reasonably good, if the linguist has said that those are good analyses. Of course, we are always going to be not parsing some of the sentences. And so in the unparsed sentences, there could be problems with the current phenomenon. So there's work to be done there. Skip multilingualization in the interest of time. Manipulation, it's nice for a reader of a grammatical resource to be able to come in and find out what's going on. The grammars can be used interactively for parsing and generation, and so that hopefully would be helpful in that way. Okay, so hopefully this sounds great. I wouldn't be surprised if it also sounds a little bit impossible, so I want to talk about stuff that's making it easier. So isn't that too much work? This is what I was saying before about Wambaya. In fact, if you're doing fieldwork and original grammatical description, you're already doing the hard part. This is much, much easier, and it doesn't have to be the same person. Right. If you're the sort of person who has the skills to go out into the field and document languages that have not been described before, you don't need to waste your time with this. You can talk to me or one of my students or other people like us, and we can do this collaboratively. Furthermore, even a grammar with partial coverage can be interesting. Right? The implemented grammar doesn't have to be perfect, doesn't have to represent everything. You can still get interesting parses and find out more about what you're missing by using the partially implemented grammar. And furthermore, the grammar matrix provides a head start. So this is the main resource that I work on. That's a URL for it. And if you go there, you'll find a questionnaire that asks you a bunch of questions about your language, allows you to describe a lexicon. And when you go through and do that, you will get out of it a working grammar, provided you don't find a bug for us, that has a core grammar, which is shared across all the languages, and then libraries of various analyses of recurring but non-universal phenomena. Like I said, working HPSG grammar. Okay, so now I want to talk about a virtuous cycle that I hope we will see between grammar engineering and grammatical description. I need to point out that the Wambaya experiment involved post-hoc grammar engineering. So by the time I was working on Wambaya, the last fluent speakers were gone, Rachel had moved on to other things, it was not an active field project anymore. But the process of building one of these implemented grammars always raises further questions because no grammatical description is complete, not even Paninis. It's just that we can't find out what he missed at this point. To see what we can do with a more interactive situation, I'm working now with Balthazar Vickel and his colleagues in Leipzig who are working on Xintang, and they are actively working on it, and I'm starting to build an implemented grammar, and hopefully we can actually see that cycle in action. Now, I have to point out that you can't do the grammar engineering from the start. There's a lot of work that has to be done first, but I hope that there's still time for a feedback loop, that once you get enough in there, that it would be useful to have someone like me trying to implement the analyses and bring further questions to your attention. This is part of what we were thinking about when Jeff and I proposed the Montage project. It was written as a grant proposal, I guess probably in 2002, 2003 or so. Never got funded, but it did turn into a paper. What we envisioned was a software environment which integrated tools for production of IGT, production of grammatical descriptions, and production of implemented grammars. And the idea is that the IGT and the grammatical descriptions would inform the implemented grammar, possibly even be input to a system that could automatically create or start the creation of an implemented grammar, and then the implemented grammar would feed back into IGT and GD development by finding candidate exemplars, for example. While that wasn't funded, a whole bunch of stuff has happened in the meantime that actually makes the vision much closer. So one is collaborative annotation and GD development environments, including Typecraft, Galois, Digital Grammar, possibly other things that were discussed here. We now have the Grammar Matrix customization system that allows us to fairly easily create small grammar fragments, starter grammars. There's tree bank search so that we can get more out of the annotated trees now that they exist. And there's even work on machine learning algorithms to take IGT and learn typological properties off of it. And we are talking, Fei Xiao is my colleague at the University of Washington, we're planning on actually working on using that sort of work to answer questions in the Grammar Matrix questionnaire and automatically create grammars off of IGT. So we're getting closer. So in conclusion, the point that I wanted to make today is that tree banks can complement other kinds of annotations that are included in electronic grammatical descriptions, and that technological and methodological advances, including the Grammar Matrix, put in my own plug there, greatly reduce the cost of producing tree banks compared to what you might have thought. And furthermore, that the process of creating that tree bank isn't just extra added work, but can further inform grammatical descriptive work. Do you have time for questions?